Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London. He writes political economics, watching very carefully the report within these last hours of inflation in the United States. There's inflation in Europe as well. The ECB has its own governance, and it's talking dovish, according to Bloomberg, in these hours. And the question is the Federal Reserve in Washington talking dovish or hawkish? Dovish means you don't raise rates dramatically, or perhaps you pause. Hawkish means full speed ahead. I read the headlines that in these last hours have influenced Wall Street in some fashion. There's a rally underway, but I'm not quite sure whether that's good news or bad news, given the extreme excitement of Silicon Valley Bank. It reads, U.S. inflation cooled in February as Fed confronts bank failures. Subhead. Consumer prices rise 6% from year earlier, smallest annual gains since September of 2021. Joe, these are definitely a challenge to interpret. I understand there's also a thing called the core rate that was disappointing. My understanding is the quandary is this. The Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, leading as chair, is on a course later this month, next week, I believe, to raise rates again. There have been speculations since some recent reports that the next rate hike will be half a point, perhaps a quarter point, perhaps a half a point, and that Mr. Powell has said, and the other governors have said subsequently, we will continue to raise rates until we succeed to stabilize prices, that is, to return to 2%. Simple part now, the banking crisis that we just discussed, is it influential when the Federal Reserve meets next week? Will Jerome Powell be caught between banks that are clearly too small to fail and the Federal Reserve's ambition to solve inflation no matter how long it takes? There's the challenge.
Yes. I mean, this is becoming an enormous challenge for the Fed, both in policymaking terms and then also from the perspective of the Fed's own credibility. So, I mean, if we start with the inflation data that came out earlier today, yes, I mean, the rate of inflation has slowed a little bit. It is worth reminding people, as I always do, and as listeners will notice the next time they go to the gas station or the supermarket, a lower rate of inflation does not mean prices are falling. It just means that prices are growing less quickly than they were before. So price growth, you know, price increases are still far ahead of the Fed's 2% goal. And in fact, other data released by the government today pointed to the fact that real earnings, which are what people earn, minus the effects of inflation, keep shrinking, which means that inflation is eating in a noticeable way into the living standards of people who discover that they can buy less of what they used to for the same amount of money. So that is the first part of the Fed's challenge here. But against that, you have the problem of the financial distress. And I have long cautioned that, you know, the Fed was thinking about the dangers it faced all wrong. Jay Powell, as the chairman of the Federal Reserve, has argued for a year that what he was trying to do was engineer a reduction in inflation without crashing the labor market. Well, that was the wrong way to think about it. The real challenge was going to be taming inflation without causing a financial crisis of some sort. And from that perspective, I don't think that there's a huge danger that Silicon Valley Bank is going to trigger a contagion. I am not saying that we are imminently on the cusp of a financial crisis here. But I will say that, you know, what has happened over the weekend with SVB is a warning that you can see signs signs of distress mounting across the financial system and across the banks as interest rates rise. That shows up in an outflow of deposits, which I think is often a consequence of tighter monetary policy. It shows up in the banks, discovering that they are suddenly experiencing losses on their portfolios of bond holdings. They were keeping, including those bonds that they hold in reserve against a rainy day. What we're going to discover the deeper into this cycle that we get, the more financial problems the Fed is going to have to worry about. And the problem is going to become, how much risk is the Fed prepared to take on in terms of the risk of a financial problem? And how much risk are they prepared to force the financial system and the banks to shoulder in order to accomplish the Fed's core mission of controlling inflation?
Worrying out loud, Joe, what we have here is the unknowns. And the question is, will there be more of them ahead as the Fed stays the course? Old rule, the Fed is going to raise rates until something breaks. Well, crypto broke recently, and crypto might be an explanation. It's offered as an explanation for why Signature Bank broke. SVB broke because of the reasons you explicated earlier. As the Federal Reserve commits to raising rates, we're also told that very smart people are moving their money out of regional banks or smaller banks and into the big stuff, Citi and Morgan Stanley. That means that those firms that are watching their money leave are more vulnerable, perhaps, or less vulnerable. I don't know. The system is dynamic and it's moving now frequently. So the puzzle here is, will the Federal Reserve continue to raise rates until bigger and bigger things break? Can we tell, Joe?
We can't tell, and that's why this then becomes the biggest test of Jerome Powell's credibility that we've had since he started raising interest rates. Certainly the Fed's track record is not particularly good in this regard. If you look back over the past three decades or so, really starting in the 1990s, they showed that they would generally be prepared to err on the side of risking higher inflation in order to avert financial crises. Sometimes, that gamble has paid off a little bit better than other times. I mean, certainly during the 1990s, the experience was that the Fed discovered that it could loosen policy a bit to try to stem off, various financial system hiccups. And we did not see a resurgence of inflation. Other times it's been a little more questionable whether that gamble was paying off, but their bias historically has been against doing anything that's going to trigger a banking panic, which I guess in one sense is good news for the economy, because financial crises are ruinous in terms of the recessions that tend to follow them. The recessions that come after a financial crisis historically are much deeper than the kind of recession that you get as part of a normal business cycle. But the problem is that we have accumulated these enormous distortions in asset markets and the financial system over the past 15 years, which are going to have to be unwound somehow. And if apparently we aren't willing to allow that unwinding to take the form of the failure of a not systemically important bank like Silicon Valley Bank, then we're really going to be in trouble, because if we can't do this, then we're never going to be able to do anything.
Here's what gives me extra pause about the Federal Reserve and how I should or should not count on it. This is the Wall Street Journal, your paper reporting. Last Wednesday, on the back of some hawkish-sounding testimony from Chairman Powell, interest rate futures put the chances of a half-point increase at the March meeting next week, rather than a quarter point, one, at nearly 80%. In other words, last Wednesday, like hours ago, they were saying half a point. It's in the mix. Now, I read, the chance of half-point hike implied by futures has fallen to zero, and there is reason to believe the Fed might not raise rates at all. Unless, of course, something else blows up. Joe, is that how to read this? Don't count on it. That's past performance is no guarantee of future success.
I think it seems to be pretty clear to a lot of people in the market right now that the chances of a half a percentage point rate increase are basically nil, and that it is likely to be a quarter point increase, which we're going to be told is a sign that yes, the Fed is taking financial risk seriously, but they have not given up the fight against inflation. Now, as you will know, all year I have been agnostic about the appropriate level of rate increase at any given meeting. So I'm not going to get all bent out of shape about, you know, the relative merits of a quarter point increase versus a half point increase. And again, I understand the dilemma that the Fed faces in not wanting to trigger a deeper, broader financial crisis. If they rush headlong into another substantial rate increase at this meeting. But I do think that, since they have chosen to execute policy so much through talking at us, in the press conferences and the statements, the important signal that they're going to send is going to be less the scale of any rate increase and more what Chairman Powell says in his press conference and what the Federal Open Market Committee say in their statement about their determination to get inflation under control, even if that does cause some wobbles in the financial system.
The markets want zero back, Joe. Will the Federal Reserve give them zero back or, pretend that they're headed for zero back? And will we suffer inflation? Is that something that's possible, dreamable, bloody-minded as it sounds, higher inflation for zero rates?
Well, I'm not entirely sure that we're ever likely to go back to the zero interest rate that we were at the start of this tightening cycle, and certainly not anytime soon, unless, heaven forbid, there is some kind of major financial crisis. But I do think that what we know is that the current level of interest rate seems to be consistent with much higher inflation than anyone is comfortable with right now. And it may be that the Fed solution to this will be to quietly dial back on what they were calling the terminal rate, which was the highest level that the overnight Fed funds rate would reach during this tightening cycle. It might now be that that terminal rate will end up not being as high as we had thought it would be before. It might end up not being high enough to really get us back to the Fed's 2% inflation target. So it could be that they end up in a situation where they hope that interest rates are now high enough to trigger the gradual unwinding of some of this financial excess, high enough to cut the sharp corners off of the inflation that we've been experiencing, but not high enough to tip us into an outright financial crisis.
And back to Silicon Valley Bank, I think I read that the incredible increase of depositors in that bank over the last 6 months or several months was a product of that zero interest rate and the government largesse during the pandemic. So the Fed participated in creating the conditions where bad business decisions were made at Silicon Valley Bank. Have I got that circle correct, Joe?
Pretty much. I mean, if you look back at the history, the deposit surge at Silicon Valley Bank and frankly at most other American banks started during 2020 when all of the pandemic relief and the extraordinary monetary easing in response to the pandemic began. And suddenly you had all of these companies and individuals that had huge amounts of money in the bank that no one knew what to do with. The depositor didn't know what to do with it, which is why it was sitting in the bank instead of, on their books instead of doing something productive. And the banks didn't know what to do with it. In fact, if you look carefully over the past year, banks have typically been complaining that they had too many deposits on their books. And that certainly seems to have been what Silicon Valley Bank felt. So again, the unwinding of that is not a bad thing and is entirely consistent with the Fed successfully tamping down inflation. But it needs to be managed in the circumstance where the bank has some kind of sensible risk control, which Silicon Valley Bank doesn't seem to have done.
Life in London. Joe has a column up about the Hancock files. And when we come back, what are those? And what does it mean about the experience we had during the pandemic of 2021, 22? This is CBS Eye on the World with Joseph Sternberg of The Wall Street Journal. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.